Imagine discovering that 2,300 years ago, someone had already solved our modern crisis of anxiety, overconsumption, and dissatisfaction. This is what Epicurus offers us, not the indulgent lifestyle his name mistakenly suggests, but a revolutionary approach to happiness based on tranquility rather than excess. With bread, water, and a little cheese, I can rival Zeus in happiness, he famously declared. While modern society pushes us toward endless acquisition and achievement, Epicurus recognized that true pleasure comes from freedom from anxiety, ataraxia, not from fleeting sensations or status symbols. His philosophy addresses a fundamental truth. Most of our suffering stems from unsatisfied desires. That promotion you're chasing, the relationship you want to improve, the recognition you crave. Each unfulfilled desire creates corresponding anxiety. What makes Epicurus' approach so powerful is that instead of offering quick fixes, he provides a complete system for evaluating which desires actually lead to lasting happiness and which inevitably cause pain. We're natural pleasure seekers from birth. Epicurus likens infants to shipwrecked sailors seeking comfort, suggesting we remain infants grown large and intelligent, pursuing the same tranquil state. As adults, however, we often make poor choices about what brings genuine pleasure, reaching for temporary fixes despite knowing their negative consequences. Marketing exploits this tendency by highlighting pleasure while obscuring downsides like debt or health impacts. Epicurus's key insight is that true pleasure isn't found in momentary thrills, but in a stable state free from pain and worry. We cultivate friendships, learn, and challenge ourselves not from obligation, but for the security and joy they provide. Even difficult tasks can bring satisfaction through anticipated completion or life's broader pleasures. The secret lies in evaluating choices in their full context, not just immediate gratification. Epicurus categorizes desires based on their relationship to tranquility. First are natural and necessary desires we should embrace, basic needs like food, shelter, and medicine, along with human needs for understanding, friendship, and virtuous habits. These are easily satisfied with proper focus. Second are natural but unnecessary desires, enhanced versions of basic needs, like craving gourmet food instead of simple meals. These become problematic when prioritized over necessary desires, such as leaving loved ones for trendy locations or working unfulfilling jobs for luxurious lifestyles. Like a chocolate cake that delights at first but soon loses appeal, those who indulge least in extravagance enjoy it most. Unnatural and unnecessary desires must be eliminated. These include endless pursuits of wealth, power, fame, or immortality, desires without natural limits that create perpetual dissatisfaction. Their pursuit demands excessive effort, breeds anxiety, and often requires unethical behavior. True Epicureanism involves redirecting energy from these corrosive pursuits toward relationships and habits that foster tranquility. Epicurus considered friendship the greatest contributor to a good life, declaring that friendship dances around the world, announcing to all of us that we must wake up to blessedness. While critics claimed hedonists would abandon relationships when convenient, Epicurean friendships are built on trust and shared values. Trust means believing friends will provide support during crises. Epicureans build trust by keeping promises, avoiding gossip, and rejecting relationships based on status or wealth. Breaking trust with one friend damages one's entire social network, so much so that Epicurus claimed a person would face death rather than betray a friend. While Epicurean friends needn't share identical tastes, they must share the same attitude toward desires, recognizing them as enjoyable but not essential for happiness. Consider friendships based on mutual consumption or status seeking, shopping companions who encourage overspending, or friends competing over achievements. Instead, Epicurean friendships emphasize mutual growth, honest conversation, and reliable support. Unlike Stoics who claim to need nothing from friends, Epicureans enter friendships as equals with shared vulnerabilities. the ideal friend neither constantly calculates utility nor ignores it completely, but builds relationships on mutual trust, shared values, and solidarity in life's challenges. For most of us, criticism stings, yet Epicurus recognizes we must accept discomfort to improve. Frank speech, honest conversation about our weaknesses, is essential for tranquility. This practice flourishes among close friends who share vulnerabilities, strengthening their bonds through mutual support. Frank speech requires relationship and understanding. We must know our audience, since personal history affects how people receive criticism. Modern psychology confirms Lucretius's observation that our capacity to change is limited. Significant changes usually occur only during major life transitions. When giving frank speech, address only matters that threaten the relationship or core aspects of your friend's well-being. Avoid irony and sarcasm, and give conversations time to unfold naturally. When receiving criticism, seek it from trusted people who know you, not from those who mock your concerns or criticize superficial qualities. Remember your own mistakes during frank conversations. How can we condemn others' errors when we're imperfect ourselves? Sharing our mistakes humanizes us, though we shouldn't use them to show off. Often, those quickest to criticize prove most sensitive to criticism themselves. Can a philosophy of pleasure justify unpleasant virtuous actions? Epicurus argues virtue is essential for pleasure. Injustice breeds anxiety, fear of detection, and self-betrayal. The unjust person never achieves tranquility, lacking trust and friendship. Even facing death, the wise Epicurean chooses death over betraying friends, as betrayal would make life unbearable through shame and lost trust. Epicureans find solace knowing their courage lives on in friends' memories. Virtue isn't merely instrumental, but essential to tranquility. They're inseparable for lasting happiness. Epicurus rejected intellectual snobbery that breeds anxiety. He welcomed the uneducated, arguing that arbitrary standards of intellect only increase anxiety and foster mistreatment. While appreciating arts as pleasant, he opposed turning culture into competition. What matters are pro-social actions that build trust and well-being, not cultural posturing. When focused on necessities rather than status, cultural interests become simple pleasures, enriching an already satisfied mind, a view particularly relevant in our credentialed-focused world. The fourfold remedy distills Epicurean wisdom. God presents no fears, death no worries. The good is easy to get, the bad easy to endure. Epicurus saw gods as uninvolved in human affairs, and death as simply the end of consciousness, making it nothing to us. Rather than pursuing immortality, Epicureans fully embrace each day, viewing extended life as a bonus. To practice Epicureanism, examine desires by asking, what will happen if I achieve this desire, and what if I don't? This reveals how little we truly need for contentment. Cultivate meaningful friendships by avoiding toxic relationships and being reliable. Practice gratitude by savoring experiences and creating memorable moments with others. Use frank speech to heal, not harm. Share undistracted meals, focusing on conversation and connection. In our consumer-driven world, Epicurus reminds us that we likely already have what we need for happiness. We've just been conditioned to want the wrong things. True contentment flows from simple pleasures, genuine relationships, and freedom from anxiety.